You're listening to Show Me Your Assets. I'm your host, Dottie Dynamo, burlesque dancer and stripper turned personal trainer. This show is about sexy work, fitness, money, and everything in between. You'll learn how to train smarter, navigate body image in an industry that centers your looks, manage your money, and prioritize self-care and recovery so you can avoid burning out over and over again. While I have your attention, you should know I have the tendency to cuss like a sailor. So if you're in mixed company, grab your headphones because there's no telling what I might say. Hey, welcome to episode 26 of Show Me Your Assets. We are talking about consistency today, and this can be among all types of activities in life, but the conversation today will focus a little bit more on the fitness side because this is something we have been talking a lot about inside of my strength training program, Hustle, Grind, and Align. So the thing that I find happens a lot is, one, when you are navigating sort of removing yourself from the idea of fitness solely as a way to change aesthetics or how your body looks, to focusing on fitness for all of the avenues in which it enhances your life and all of the benefits it has outside of simply the ability to change your appearance, there's still a struggle with this concept of being on track or off track. And language that I find my clients using, as well as other people, when the topic just comes up in conversation, because when I'm around, I find that somehow fitness or exercise always comes up in conversation. So those words tend to show up as things like, oh, I fell back off track again, or I have to get back track on, you know, this week, or I didn't do as much as I would, so I'm feeling a little bit behind. And the first thing you have to understand is that when you start to approach fitness as something that is a lifelong endeavor, there is no track and you can't really be behind because we're doing this forever, not for 30 days to achieve a boot camp, not long enough to build an ass and then forget about it. This is something that we have adapted into our sort of self-care routine, because I 1000% believe that fitness is self-care and moving your body is self-care for so many reasons. The mental health benefits, the stress release, unless you're, you know, ultimately only doing high intensity activities, then you're adding more stress to your body. But that's a whole other caveat for another day. So when we talk about consistency, first and foremost, our brains tend to play tricks on us, and we will tell ourselves that we haven't done enough or we haven't done all the things we said we would. And that's where the idea of falling off track comes into play, because our ideas in our head of what we said we were going to do versus what we feel like we've done usually don't align with how much we have truly actually done in a certain time span. So one of the things that I ask my clients to do when this starts to come up is to define what consistency is for them, right? Because if you don't have a definition, if you don't have a picture of what it means for you to be consistent, first, you won't know if you are consistent because, once again, like I just mentioned, your brain will lie to you. Your brain will tell you you haven't done as many things as you actually have, because we are perpetually stuck in this mantra. That's not the right word. Why is it with words with me? But we're stuck in this cycle in our culture of that we should always be doing, that we always have to be doing, that we should be hustling, that taking a moment of rest isn't productive, which is the exact opposite. Rest is most likely one of the most productive things that you could do. So when we have this loop in our head of telling us that we should be doing more things, when we feel like we haven't done enough of those things, that's when we start to feel off track or as we haven't been consistent. So I have my clients do two things. First is to define what perfect consistency would look like to you, knowing, of course, that this will probably be something you don't achieve very often, and that's okay. But we're going to put, like, in a perfect universe where life doesn't get lifey and I'm not tired and I didn't work an extra shift or my friend didn't come into town or I didn't get sick, what would consistency look like for me? In the terms of workouts, that might be like, I work out 3 times every week. Okay, so we're defining now as our perfect consistency 3 times a week, or even better than yet, if you take that to another level, don't leave it at per week, right? How many workouts would that be a month? So let's now say I want to get 15 workouts a month. So that just means I've given myself a leeway of 3 to 4 workouts a week to hit 15 workouts an entire month. And that is my idea of, like, everything in the world goes perfectly as planned. Now, on the flip side, I want you to define what is your minimum effective dose of consistency. What does that minimum amount look like for you that you would still feel consistent? You would still check in and be like, holy shit, I actually did a lot of things and I just didn't realize it because my brain was telling me I haven't been doing enough. So if your, like, ideal world is 15 workouts a month, maybe your low end is like 8 or 10. And that means you're still getting 2 to 3 workouts a week, depending, right? And you could even set that lower if you wanted to. And also, please know that if you set your low end consistency at like 8 workouts a month and you only hit 6, that doesn't mean you're not consistent. And that doesn't mean that you have fallen off track. These are just sort of guidelines so that we have data to show ourselves that we're not as far off as we tend to think that we are. This is just to help us with data points, right? Data is a great tool if, and kind of only if, you can remove that emotion from it. If you can sort of step outside of yourself and look at this data and then use it to go, huh, wow, well, my low end was 8, but I only got 6. What was it that impacted that? And then look at those factors and then see, oh, well, actually, considering all of those things that were going on this month, the fact that I still got in 6 workouts is fucking amazing. Like, go me. And then know that on the flip side, that on those months that maybe you get those full 15, I'm willing to guess that other things in your life weren't as bombarding? Is that a word? Guys, I don't know. My brain goes at 10 times faster than my mouth, and it is a problem. But that means, you know, maybe life wasn't as lifey that month. And it's over the grand scheme of things that really matters, okay? Getting in 1 workout this week will still add up if you get in 3 next week. It's sort of like compound interest when you're saving, right? It adds up over time and it compounds on itself. So another step, I guess step 3 in this process would be, I have my clients pull out their calendar and write in all of the things that they know are in their schedule. Maybe that's like the shifts at work that you know you're working, any other gigs that you have, social events that you have planned. Just like a day off for yourself in which you are doing nothing, including working out, right? Now that we have all of those on our calendar, we can look at that and get a clearer idea of, when do I know I won't work out? Okay, often we focus on, when do I want to get a workout in? And we just sort of haphazardly plan, I'm going to work out Monday, Wednesday, Friday this week, or I'm going to work out 4 times, but we don't take into consideration the rest of our schedule or what's going on. So take out the calendar, write all those things in, like all of your set obligations, the things that are sort of firm in your schedule. And then looking at those, be realistic with yourself and how you know how you feel after those things. Like if going out with friends energizes you, then maybe you will be amped up and ready to go to the gym in the morning. But if going out with friends means heavy drinking all night long, maybe you can go, ooh, the next day is a day that I know I will not work out. And once we have all those days that we know, that I adamantly know there's no way I'm dragging my happy ass to the gym, We can look for those pockets in those windows of when I will work out. And we want to plan those, right? Because if we don't know like what days and times to leave free are free, we're once again just sort of hoping for the best. But like pretty much everything in life that requires some sort of a commitment, we sort of have to plan it into our schedule, and that goes for lifting as well. You know, if you don't plan for it, odds are you're more willing, more likely to go, I don't feel like doing it, or, oh, I don't have time, because we didn't plan for the time. And then step four in this process is I have them give themselves options to lower the barrier of entry to their workout. And this means if I can lower my barrier of entry, I'm more likely to check off the box of getting in a workout or getting in movement. Because also know, right, when you let go of this need or this sort of desire for your workouts to be solely focused on your aesthetics, it's okay to check off the box for the sake of checking off the box, because not every workout is going to be great. And sometimes you'll throw in the towel halfway through, but that still counts because that's adding to that compounding interest per se of that consistency, of those muscular gains, of the momentum of building a pattern of trusting yourself that you'll show up for yourself when you say you will. So some of these options that I give my clients of ideas on how to lower the barrier of entry are just starting the warm-up. So if you're having a hard time finding that motivation, that elusive idea of motivation for getting your workout started, can you just do the warm-up? And after the warm-up, if you're still like, I'm really not into this, you can quit. That's okay. But odds are, once you've got your body moving, right, objects in motion tend to stay in motion. Another option that is sort of similar is the idea of the 10-minute timer. So set a timer for 10 minutes and just start moving. And this is really similar to the start the warm-up, because we know when that timer goes off, we have the choice to either stop or keep going. But we've committed to those 10 minutes, and those 10 minutes add up over time. They add to our feeling of consistency, and they rewrite that narrative of falling off track or feeling behind. Other options are things like only committing to doing half of the workout, committing to doing simply one set of each exercise. Don't change into your workout clothes. Wear whatever you're wearing. It's perfectly okay to work out in everyday clothes. I mean, maybe if you're wearing a dress, that might not be ideal in the gym, but, you know, jeans, you can work out in jeans. I've worked out in jeans. I've worked out in pajamas. It is perfectly okay to remove this sort of step of feeling like we have to change our clothes to start the workout, because sometimes that can be the biggest hurdle, is the like, oh, or the, oh, well, I forgot my gym clothes, so I can't go to the gym today. Can you though? What can you do with the current outfit you're wearing? What is possible movement wise? And then the last sort of one to consider is to do your workout either first thing in the day or when you're the most rested, which for a lot of us tends to be earlier in the day, because as the day goes on, so does our sort of level of energy availability. We're more likely to do the harder things earlier in the day when we're still full on energy, when our decision fatigue hasn't kicked in. And so saving smaller tasks that are easier to do when you're sort of feeling wiped out, or you're over the world, or too many men on the street have catcalled you and you're just fucking done with it, save those tasks for the end of the day and try to start your day if this works for you, right? We have to always focus on what works best for you, because there is no one fixed set best way to do anything. At the end of the day, it's always sort of, in the words of my old business coach, Christina Montalvo, the spaghetti method, right? Throw something out there, try it, see if it works for you. If it doesn't, you just keep trying until you figure out the thing that does. But if you're still in this loop of feeling off track or feeling behind, check in with yourself and see if you even have an idea of what consistency is, if that idea is too rigid because you don't have any gray area. Gray area is so important. Black and white thinking is not conducive to making a lot of progress because we don't leave wiggle room for the rest of our lives, for our emotions, for anything else. So think about that. What is that definition of consistency for you? What is the low end? What is the high end? And when those thoughts pop up in your head of I'm feeling off track or I'm behind or I need to start back over, ask yourself why. Ask yourself where that thought is coming from. What data do you even have to prove that, if any? And see if that helps you sort of rewrite those unfortunate automatic thoughts that we have inherited from the toxic fitness culture, from diet culture, and this sort of idea of needing to be nonstop productive that our culture and hustle culture has created. I'd love to know how it goes for you. If you go through this method, if you come up with these definitions of consistency, you can always tag me on Instagram at Dottie Dynamo. You can send me a DM. And in fact, if you are listening to this on Anchor and possibly even on Spotify, there's a way to leave a voice message and let me know how it worked out for you. And if you're finding this podcast helpful, leaving a rating and a review really helps me show up more in the podcast listings. Not to mention, it really makes me feel good to know that people are following along and they're enjoying the content that I'm putting out there. That's all I have for you today. I'll see you on the next episode of Show Me Your Assets.